Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I'm so excited on this wonderful, 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 wonderful Monday evening, one we've never seen and one we've never will never see again. And in my neck of the woods, the day was beautiful. The sun was shining. It was a little breezy, but it was still beautiful, and I was grateful that God blessed me to be in it. And so I'm excited that you're here on tonight and that God has given us a Rhema word for tonight. But before we get into our lesson, I want to make sure that I always acknowledge those of you that may be listening in for the very first time. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Like I said, this is Dr. Happy. I'm excited, and we aim each week to give an inspiring word that's encouraging, that's educating, and that's empowering. Encouraging because it always has to deal with the Word of God and making sure that we keep everyone encouraged and keep everyone lifted up in the things of God. And then, two, we want to make sure that it's not necessarily completely educational in respects of it may be a topic that you're familiar with, but it's definitely one that will give you an opportunity to have more insight so that you can get a better understanding of what it is that God has for you in this hour. And then make the necessary changes if there need to be some changes, and then not only be empowered to make the necessary changes, but to be empowered to help someone else. And so in doing so, we want to make sure that you're encouraged, that you're educated, and you're empowered. For those of you, praise God, that have been with me, can you believe it's been 10 years? 10 years we've been in this thing, moving into the 11th. Can you believe? God is so amazing. And you've been here with me, whether you've been with me for the whole 11 years, or 10 years, if you've been with me for 9, 8, 5, 7, 2 months, 6 months, however long, 2 weeks even, I'm grateful that you tuned in again. And so as long as you tune in again, you are a recurring listener. And so I'm grateful that you tuned in again to encourage me and keep me focused and keep me motivated and keep me empowered to do what God's called me to do, and that is just to teach and share the word of God. And so I thank you for that, and I always will make sure that I give you a wonderful shout out. And then, of course, those that definitely keep me motivated and keep me empowered. And so I always want to make sure that I thank you, and you know who you are. Praise God. Now, the two people that I have to call by name is Jesse and Tammy Storr. And because without them and the Ministry of the American Ministry group, just being wonderful, wonderful, wonderful of example, empowering people in the midst of whatever they may be going through, they have given me everything that I could possibly need as far as mentors are concerned in this vein of making sure that I stay true to my assignment, that I am true to the call that God has called me to. And because of their example and because of their wisdom and because of their witty ideas and commitment to their assignment, they make sure that we're committed to our assignment. And so I will always call them by name, and I will always make sure that I acknowledge them because, praise God, amen, you have to give credit where credit is due, because there's so many things we could be doing, Saint, so many things we could be doing. But when God calls us to an assignment, those of us that are true to it, you know, it does not come with an easy price. It is a heavy, heavy cost to do the things that God has called us to do, and to be faithful to it as faithful as these two people have been. And so I am grateful that I am in their company, and I'm grateful that I am in their path of blessings. And so I always want to call them by name. Now, our greatest praise always, always, always has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you even know it or not, He's all of our fathers. He is the one and the only, amen, the Alpha and Omega. And we always want to make sure that we acknowledge Him before we go into our lessons. And so we start the broadcast with a wonderful, wonderful song. When Jesus says yes, nobody absolutely positively can say no. And when He says no, nobody can say yes either. Amen. But nevertheless, we start with an upbeat tone to get us in the mood, at least gets me in the mood. And then I thank each of you for dialing in, because you could be spending your time somewhere else. And then I always want to make sure that we acknowledge God before we go into our lessons, and we do that by prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessing. We thank you, Father, for loving us and being kind to us and just loving on us in the ways that we just can't even imagine. We thank you, Father, for being God all by yourself. We thank you for the resources that you give, that you give us the word, that you give us the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, Father, even what some of us celebrated a couple of weeks ago, Father, we celebrated the fact that you lowered yourself to become human like us, to die on the cross and shed that blood, that amazing blood, so that we would have an opportunity to have eternal life with you. And not only that, to be able to live under the blanket of freedom that blood provides for all of us. and that gives us the wisdom and the understanding that we need to live this path, to live this journey. And so we thank you. We thank you, Father, and we don't take it lightly. And so we always want to make sure that we acknowledge you. We want to make sure that we acknowledge you are divine, that we're branches, and as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can do absolutely positively nothing. And so, Father, as I stand before you in this hour to share a word from on high, I pray, Father, that you will use my lips, you will use my heart, you will use my mind, you will use everything that is in me to make sure that I say what you have me to say and to be about what you have me to be about, so that I not only teach the word but live the word. Let us all, Father, be doers of your word and not just hearers only. We love you, we honor, we adore you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. We pray, Father, that you bless those that are listening tonight, that they will have a rhema word and be just as motivated and just as alive as it is if somebody listens in 2 or 3 weeks or 2 months or 2 years from now. Again, Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, sharing a wonderful, wonderful word on high from the Lord on tonight. And so the interesting thing is that, you know, over the past couple of years, months, I've been going through quite a bit. And so nevertheless, I love, love, love teaching from a place of transparency. And I love teaching from a place of understanding. And so in order for me to be able to teach the way that God teaches me to teach is to be honest and to be as frank as possible, because I think sometimes we can get so caught up hiding behind truths or lies. But hiding, and when we hide, the real emphasis of the word that needs to manifest to help people's lives change for the better can't come to fruition, because we're dancing around topics, and we're dancing around situations and circumstances that prevents people from really understanding what is necessary to really have real breakthrough. And so if we want to believe that we dial in to broadcasts like this, or we listen in to radio programs or TV programs, or even take the effort to go to a building to hear a rhema word, that the person that is actually doing the study is going to be honest and going to bring forth the word that God would have so that we can have change. I think so many times that some of us, the ministers, were so caught up trying to be pretty and trying to make sure that things look nice and things look in order, if whatever that means, based on this world system and this world standard. And people are going home broken, and people's lives are not changing for the better. And so it is high time that all of us that have been called to an assignment to teach the word of God need to do it as transparent as possible so that people's lives can change for the better, because, amen, this is the dying system. And people are dying, and people are losing out, and they're losing out because they're wasting time with people that are not being authentic. And so we have to be authentic. And that's one of the coolest words that I think my girlfriend really blessed me by, calling me authentic. And I heard her, but I didn't really take it as serious as I probably should have. Because I like being transparent anyway. But when she said that I was authentic, that did something to me, because not that many people use that word when they describe it. Although they're confused because they don't know what word to give me. And that's pretty much what it is, because I am free. And because I am free, I had to go through a lot in order to be free. But even going through a lot, I learned that because people have been authentic with me, and people have been transparent with me, it's the only reason why I've been able to be delivered and to be set free. And so why wouldn't I be honest? Why wouldn't I say the things that God lays on my heart to say, regardless of how embarrassing they may sound, regardless of how naked I may be or appear to be by saying whatever it is that God tells me to say. And so I'm grateful that God has blessed me to be able to do that. So nevertheless, the lesson for tonight came from one of those moments, and how often I have been pressed and hard-pressed within the last couple of years going through the things that I've been going through, especially because the enemy has been hot and heavy on my tail. My tail, my trail, my back, my front, my all sides. He has been really pouncing. And so it's not really funny, but to some degree it is kind of funny at times hearing different people say, oh, you're so strong, or I don't know how you're able to do this. I don't either. But nevertheless, I know I have to keep moving, and I have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I can't stop. And it's not going to make the devil stop. And it's not going to stop allowing God to do what is necessary to make sure that I'm refined to be the person that he designed me to be. And so whatever it takes, my sister said to me the other day, she's like, oh, stop, back up. You know, the enemy is just, you know, I can see. And I'm like, but I can't. I can't lighten up. If I lighten up, then, amen, what does that make me? That makes me not authentic. But nevertheless, it makes me not sincere about the call that God has on my life. And so nevertheless, at the end of the day, even when we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Jesus going to the cross, he didn't have to go through half the stuff that I think that I could be possibly going through. He went through way more. And so for me to complain and moan and groan, and say, I ain't doing this no more, I'm not doing what God called me to do because it's too hard. I mean, what am I saying to God? You know, I could back up from the devil. Yeah, absolutely. But what am I saying to God by saying that I'm not going to go hard? I'm not going to, as that song, go in the paint. I'm not going to do what God called me to do. I can't do that. I can't say that I'm going to pause because I need the devil to lighten up. What does that mean? Granted, I want him to lighten up, true enough. But if it means it's going to keep me close to the cross, if that means that it's going to make sure that my name is on the roll when I close my eyes for the last time, pour it on, Lord. Now, my sister said, don't say that. You're inviting, trying to invite the enemy. What I'm trying to do is that I'm trying to make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do and do the assignment that God has called me to. And if this is the hour for me to be refined, then this is the hour that I have to be refined. Is it going to be like this always? Whew. I sure hope not. But nevertheless, if it is, I have to keep pressing the seed because I want that highest mark. I want to be able to stand next to Jesus. And if that means that I got to have a couple more coins on my toes, if I have to have all my teeth pulled out, whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try to do it, maybe not completely smiling, but you're going to get a grin from time to time, and I'm definitely going to continue to try to make people smile. Why? Because it's necessary. It's necessary because God didn't promise us that it was always going to be easy. He did not. And if your life is really, really easy, then you might want to question what you're doing, because that means the enemy is, there's no challenge. And we know that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he's not killing, he's not destroying. He's not causing any havoc in your life, then you might want to question, are you really in that much agreement with him? Now, I'm not saying that in order for you to know that you're not living a life which you have to have problems. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, that if it's too incredibly easy for you, then the enemy there's no threat for you. And so as long as I'm a threat to the gospel, then I know he's going to be on my back. And so I know that I just have to do what I need to do to make sure that God got my front and my back covered. Amen. So I'm going to keep it moving. But nevertheless, as I was saying, talking more and more about this topic of being authentic and being uniquely free comes at a cost that I cannot lie to myself. I cannot lie and pretend that I am doing what God called me to do. I acknowledge. And I remember a couple years ago, I was placed into a situation at a Bible study, and I was called on the carpet, and they asked me, and I thought I could lie because I knew that if I voiced it, that I would give the people that were in this particular Bible study ammunition to use it against me. So I had to think quick on my feet, Lord, what do I say? Because I don't want to lie. I want to tell the truth. And so the example that I gave, still the enemy found a way to navigate it back to where he wanted it to be. And so in the midst of the drama that they made out of this Bible study to put me on blast, my daughter approached me and she said, "Mommy, why are you still on there? Why don't you just hang up? That's not necessary." And it was necessary because at the end of the day, I believe that God allows things for a reason. And at that particular time, it was for the people that were listening. It wasn't necessarily for me. Some of it was for me because I got to see how far the enemy and the lengths that he would go to use people in a Bible situation, Bible study, to draw confusion. But because I had no reason to lie, I was open and I was honest and I was transparent to the point that the person that was doing a lot of the picking couldn't help but say, "I have to give her credit because she's being completely honest, because I know some of the things that are going on in our life and she's being completely honest." And so for me, that was the best thing that came out of that Bible study outside of one of the members calling me after and was, "Why did you deal with that?" And I thought, I could be rude, I could be nasty, but that's not my character. I'm going to answer the questions that was given to the best of my ability. And if somebody became free behind that, then it was necessary. If one person was free behind that, it was necessary. And so many times we find ourselves in situations where it's easier to lie. And so I could have lied and got out of that. And scurried out of that situation and made myself to be higher or looked upon higher than what I should have been. But for what purpose? What purpose would that have gotten? What, if anybody had really known, well, a few people that really know me would have known. But the main people that were trying to pick at me, there would have been no point because they wouldn't have known. But at the end of the day, I have to be honest with myself. And so my challenge to each of you is, are you actually being honest with yourself, or do you really want people to lie to you? And that's the question that's posed to you today. So do you really want me to lie to you to make you feel better about yourself so that you can feel good about whatever it is that you think that you are getting away with? Or can you be honest and be transparent and move in the direction where God would have you? It's comical to me how sometimes we get into situations where we make errors, and when people call us out, we don't want nobody to call us out. We want to keep it hidden. We don't want our sins to be found out, and when they're found out, we don't want nobody to know. We'll hide it, or we'll camouflage it, or we won't talk about it, and we'll use different situations and scenarios to distract people from seeing the real part of us. Well, for me, why not let them see it? Because now I'm going to be forced with a decision. I'm going to have to make the necessary changes. Now, I have to desire to make those changes, and then I can't get too comfortable. Well, it's already out there, so I'm just going to. There has to still be a desire to change. But at the end of the day, there has to be more of a desire to want to tell the truth. And I think sometimes if we thought harder on why it's important for us to be rescued from lies, then we wouldn't be so quick to hide from the truth. Why is it we hide from the truth? The word says the truth will make you free, set you free, depending on your version of your Bible. But the thing that I think that it is interesting, again, is that people want to protect themselves and their feelings, and so they'll lie, thinking they're covering up hurt and pain, and then they're doing it to protect their feelings, their self-esteem, their self-confidence, and sometimes their emotions. And when you really think about that, how are you really protecting yourself when you do that? How are you really building your self-esteem when you're lying to yourself? If somebody calls you out, sometimes we can be a little graphic because my daughter, she's one, bless her heart. She has no filter. And many people say she says she's a cut from her mother's cloth. And to some degree, I've learned to be a little bit more tactful, but my youngest, she has no filter. Somebody smells bad in here. And so what is the immediate response? We're covering up. It ain't me. It's not me. It's not. Well, what if it is you? Wouldn't you rather know so you can fix the problem? Or would you rather lie and hide? Why is that the first response? Why? Why is that the response? Embarrassment? But why should it be embarrassing? Truth is to set you free. But we want lies to set us free. Why? Why do we want people? Does that look pretty on me? Girl, yeah, you look good. Why do I want people to lie to me? Leah, do you think that this is going to hurt if I do this way? No, you'll be all right. Well, I know I have very, very few girlfriends that are very transparent with me, extremely transparent with me, and I am so grateful that God has blessed them to be in my life to be transparent. You know, I'm missing out on this particular area of life, and I think I really want to do this. What do you think? Well, I don't think that God would have that for you. Okay, well, just a little bit. No, I don't think God would have that for you. They could lie and say, girl, yeah, get yours. Do what you need to do. He'll forgive you, and he will. Amen. The consequences that come with that, needless to say. But would I rather them lie to me to make me feel good, to build my self-esteem, to help my emotions, my feelings? Or would I rather them tell me the truth? I'd rather them tell me the truth. My daughter this weekend, we were talking about, I can't even remember the topic we were talking about, but she's like, Mom, why do you do that? And I was like, well, what do you mean? Would you rather me lie so it softens the blow? Or would you rather me tell you the truth so that you can make the necessary changes? I'm like, why is it that we would rather people lie to us? Well, because, amen, that's the way that our system has indoctrinated us to believe. Fake it till you make it. on a sliding scale. Instead of telling the truth, I know that I need to do some things differently with my body because my health is a result of that. Versus, girl, them cookies ain't bothering you. One or two, it's all with moderation. But God told me to put it down. So again, we're lying to ourselves. The Bible says that liars and manipulators are not to be trusted. Why? Because they use their words and their actions to deceive. And when we do that, we cause people to lose faith in God and in fellow man. So when we are contributing to those, we are just as guilty as helping people believe that God is alive. Especially those of us that are behind the blanket of we're Christians. And we're supposed to tell the truth. I like that the Bible says that do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man that reaps what he sows, whatever he sows, he's doing that to please his flesh. And when he pleases his flesh, he will reap destruction. But if we sow to please our spirit, from our spirit we will reap eternal life. Now that sounds all good and fine. But when it comes to even me, you know, all these empty soda bottles around the room, and I'm wondering why my stomach hurts. Amen. I could lie to myself and say, you know, it's just, temporary. I'm not going to do this all the time because I'm about to get my teeth fixed, and so praise God, I'm not going to be able to drink a lot of sodas. And so I'm telling myself, I need to get all of this out of my system. Am I telling myself the truth or am I lying to myself? I make a decision. It was funny, me and my daughter was watching the movie, The Ninja Turtles. And it was, I can't remember what his name is, whatever the little sensei, little dude said. You know, it's not about right or wrong. It's not about right or wrong. It's about choices. We make choices. We make choices to do right or we make choices to do wrong. And so when we do things that are contrary to the will and the way that the Father would have for us, we have to deal with the consequences. But when we think that we can lie and get our way out, we're deceiving ourselves. One of the things that my aunt always says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So that tongue is a deadly beast. And sometimes we can make ourselves, we can lie enough to ourselves to make ourselves believe something that is definitely not true. And so we have to be understand that when we sow lies, amen, they pick up legs and they create whatever the life that is that we're speaking into it. Because power and death is in the power of this tongue. And so when I keep lying to myself, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. When I know I can't do this, eventually I'm going to start believing that. And then now I've created an environment of a lie. And so now I'm living in this pool of lies. And now because, amen, eventually God will allow you to stay in that vein. It's called a reprobate state. Now nobody can convince me no otherwise. That's a scary place to be where you believe that you're on an island by yourself. It was funny, me and my daughter were watching the TV show yesterday, and one of the ladies on the show, she created, they went on a trip, and all of them were responsible for creating an event as part of this trip. And she made that whole event about herself. And she was so engulfed in herself and what she was doing for herself, she couldn't see the expressions of the other people. She couldn't see nobody was engaged. She couldn't see that the only person that was being entertained was herself. And so all of us sitting, you know, watching the TV show are laughing. And then it dawned on me, and I told my daughter, I said, this is the kind of stuff that the enemy does to us. He makes us believe that we are the belle of the ball, and we don't know that we are the source of the butt of the joke, because everybody's in on something except us. Because we can be so caught up on the lie. And because somebody said, girl, you know, you just look good. You look like a little cotton ball. And that just went to her, you know, she's going, and they're laughing at her. But she couldn't see their laughter at her because she was so into her own little bubble, if you will, because the enemy had made her believe that it was all about her. Saints, we are in a system now where the Bible says that we have become lovers of ourselves. There are so many people that are lovers of themselves that we don't even see other people anymore. It's only what we want, how we want it, when we want it. And so I need you to lie to me to make me believe that this is all about me. And as long as you're lying to me, I'm happy about it. Say that something's wrong with this picture. And it's wrong because we're not even challenging to see, am I really looking in a reflection? Or am I telling myself what I want to see, and I'm just believing what the image is on the other side because that's what I want it to be? And so I'm lying to myself. Now, one of the coolest things is that God helps us overcome the sins of lying. We desire it, though. Many of us don't want to know the truth. We want to stay in our lives. We want to continue to do the things that we think that that will cause us promise, if you will. I like that Proverbs 19:19 says, a false witness shall be punished, and a liar should be caught. Why do we think that our lies only eventually catch up to us? My aunt often says, see, the true crust of the earth will rise again. So you can, and I didn't understand what that meant for a long time, the true crust of the earth will rise again. So that means you can lie and bury the truth. But eventually, it's going to come up. Or my favorite from the movie Ray, scratch a lie, smell a thief. Amen. Eventually, those lies will find you out. Why? Because God's word is truth. And he's not going to let a lie live forever. It's just not. So why did we start them in the first place? Why is it so difficult for us to just tell the truth? A girlfriend called me today, and she said, Lee, I have a situation. I offended somebody, and I don't know exactly how I want to handle it. And I was like, just tell the truth. I said, it's really just that simple. We make it difficult because we don't want our emotions to get the best of us. Just say I'm sorry. I mean, amen. What can they do to you? Nothing. The Bible says that. What can man do to you? Nothing, unless God allows it. And the best thing you can do is repent and keep it moving. You don't have to allow your emotions to get you all worked up into something. Oh, my bad. I was feeling having a bad day, or I didn't have all the information, blah, 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 and move on. And whether they forgive you or not, that's on them. You did your part. That's it. You move on. But we allow this system that we live in to make things bigger than what they are. Lies. Bigger lies and bigger lies and bigger lies. And now you got folks that ain't speaking to each other for what? It ain't that deep. And that's why it's so comical to me when people try to throw that on me, because it's like, no, I don't want that. Mm-mm. I learned years ago, I didn't want to argue anymore. I don't want to do that. It's tiring. It's frustrating because nobody wins ever. Who has to have the last word? Now, I used to love having the last word and could feel like I could argue with the best of folks. For what? For what? Because I had the last word. Now what? So now I don't have a relationship with somebody I claim I love and care about? No, if you want the last, you can have it. Go for it. You know, my old mentor used to tell me all the time, just because you know the answer don't mean you got to tell the people. You can keep it to yourself. If God ain't told you to reveal it, then keep it to yourself. If people want it, the Bible even talks about a fool, will argue with himself. Love to hear empty folly. For what? Why do you get involved and engaged in that? There's no reason. That's a lie. You're being engaged in a lie. One of my newest mentors once said that one of her therapy sessions is to just create a lie for someone just to see how far they'll go. Know that the people have two children. No, you got three. No, I only have two. No, you have three. I was there when the baby was born. Knowing good and well she wasn't there, but just for the sake of saying it. And she goes on and on and on with these people, and they get tirelessly trying. You wasn't there? I'm from Chicago. You ain't never been to Chicago. Yeah, I was there. You don't remember? Because the nurse came in, and da-da-da-da-da. And so after she gets in, the person's exhausted. It's like, now, do you know that I wasn't there, right? Yeah, well, why did you argue with me? You knew that. Why would you keep going on with something you know is true? You want me to lie to you. Why? Why do we continue to perpetuate stuff that we know is not true? Why do we continue to be engaged in things that we know don't matter? It's the enemy's way to keep us engaged and keep us off focus so that we won't spend time on the things that God really wants us to spend time with, like focusing on the word and understand why it's important for us to not necessarily focus on all the details of everything. I like how it says that, you know, when people lie, that intentionally they hold out information or they give out too much information. And so even though, and I hate saying this, but when I was younger, I was good at lying, and it wasn't that I was intentionally trying to lie, but to me, I believe to some degree salespeople can be good liars. And so, you know, we tell people we believe in products that we really don't believe in, but, you know, for the sale, amen, you know, I could sell you to the moon. And so when I got to a point where I just really didn't want to lie anymore, I realized I was lying. I didn't believe in the product. I didn't believe in what it did for me. I didn't even use it. But I was telling people I was so that I could make the biggest sale. And why? That comes from greed. And do you see how one lie turns into something else and how the enemy uses that? Now, I'm not knocking those that, you know, work in sales. That's something you and the Lord got to work. But for me, I couldn't do it no more. I knew I was lying. And I knew I was taking advantage of people's emotions. And I didn't want to do that no more. And so now, praise God, the very thing that I was lying to people about, I need. Amen. But nevertheless, that's how it works. Why lie? You don't want to lie to people. You want to tell the truth. You want everyone to do their best. And how can you be your best with a lie? You just can't. And how we think that if we sneak or if we cut corners, that we somehow advance. It may seem like it, but again, the true crust of the earth will rise again. We got to be honest with ourselves. I like that this scripture, not the scripture, but this saying that I found. It said, the pursuit of truth will set you free, even if you never catch up with it. That kind of goes with, you know, the scripture of the truth will set you free. But I like this, that the pursuit of truth will set you free, even if you never catch up with it. So what if you don't ever get credit for doing such and such and such and such? But you told the truth. You told the truth. And somebody's life benefited from it because you told the truth. Amen. I like this other one that that I found. But this is actual scripture. It says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Almost like me and my sister going back and forth. You know, just kind of lighten up. You're going in too hard. You shouldn't preach so hard because the enemy is on your back. Well, I may have a lot of troubles, but God is going to deliver me from them all. And even in the midst of my trouble, I see the promise. I can see the promise. Like I said, people are saying to me, well, you know, I'm praying for peace. I already have peace. I am looking still. Can you believe? I'm still looking at my favorite, well, one of my favorite skylines. Why? Because, amen, God ain't moved me yet. And so as long as he ain't moved me yet, amen, I can rejoice in where I am. I love that Psalms 120 and 2 says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Deliver me, Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Oh, I'm sorry. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. Deliver me from the lawyer, from the liars. Oh, my God. Why would that need to be a psalm? Because God knew that people would manifest into lies to believe that that was going to push them through or make them feel more empowered or make them feel like they were advancing in some way. You think about even in the Old Testament how the story of Saul and how he was an amazing king at one time. And then he heard the little Jekylls that they gave about David. And then because of his greed, he lied to himself. He lied to himself. And the more he lied to himself, the more his anger, the more his greed and his envy for David came. I believe I love my listening. Which scripture? I believe the one you said, "Deliver my soul." That's the one you're talking from. That's Psalms 120 and 2. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips. Deliver this from a deceitful tongue. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. Amen. That could be part of a confession, because you just don't want to be around those types of people. Because praise God, what are they saying? The birds of a feather flock together. You hang around liars long enough, eventually you'll find yourself lying. You hang around different people that are doing things that are contrary to the will of God. Eventually, you'll find your way doing it. I remember growing up in the youth ministry. The youth minister said, he said, you know, people go to the clubs with their friends, and you know they don't drink. But, you know, everybody got a glass, and eventually you get you a glass of water, you have a lemon in it, and make it seem like you put a cup of cheese ice in it. And so everybody at the table was drinking. Eventually it's, you know, Titus, this is fruity. You may like this. This is sweet. And then, oh, wow. And then you go from a fuzzy navel to a vodka sour, and then now you drink it. Amen. Amen. You can't lie to yourself. You got to know to thine own self be true, and you got to know. Now, one of the things that I think I often ask myself is, why do I need to lie? Now, why lie? Then why do I need to lie? And then what is the point of lying? So, you know, when you get yourself in a situation, why lie? Why do I need to lie? And what is the point of lying? Those are three questions that I tend to ask myself, especially since now, for what? You know, there was a time that we feel like, you know, tell a little white lie. And I remember a couple months ago or so, I did a broadcast on the different color lies, that we've even gotten to the point where we color in lies, white lies, black lies, yellow lies, red lies. Really? Lies are lies. but we got to ask ourselves, why do we feel that we have to lie? And then why do we feel like we want people to lie to us? Why do we want people to lie to us? Why? We got to ask ourselves, why lie? And then what is the need? What is the need for me to be lied to? And then what is the need for me to lie to somebody else? Are they going to beat me? I mean, some of the children may think, amen, I don't want to get a whooping. But I tell my daughter, Austin, you got a whooping because you lied. You didn't get a whooping because of what you did, because you make mistakes. People make mistakes. You can't help but make mistakes because you're not perfect. So you're going to make mistakes. And sometimes when you make intentional lies or intentional mistakes, sometimes they warrant a consequence, but not as great as you would for lying. That's the worst thing to me to do to your parents is to lie. When you lose the trust of the parent, Lord have mercy, come on. Don't do that. Tell the truth. Did you eat the cookies? I did. Did you steal money out of my purse? I did. What do you think would happen if you told the truth? Well, we immediately want to lie because we think that the punishment is lighter if we lie. And now not only did we lie to the person, we lied to God too. And that's the other thing that gets me. You know, a lot of people and think you got away with it. And the main person that has heaven and a hell, you lying to. And you think you get away with that. Why do we do that? I'm not going to lie to Sister Leah because she's a minister. But I'm alive to God. Are you kidding me? Don't do that to me. Please, don't do that to me. Don't elevate me over God. No. I am nobody in a relationship than what you should be doing in front of me versus God. God is first, always, always. Why do I think that I can't lie in front of my mom, but I can lie in front of God? Why do I think I can lie in front of my boss? But I mean, I can lie. Yeah, anyway, I can lie in front of God, but I can't lie in front of my boss. That's the way it is. How do we even form ourselves to think that way? That we can do all these things that we're big and bad enough to do. We can't do it in front of certain people, but we can do it all day long in front of God, the one that gives us the very breath that we breathe, that gives us the very blanket of freedom that we live under. We'll lie to him. And we'll lie knowing that he knows we're lying. Why? Why? And that's why you got to ask yourself, why lie? And why do I have, where is this need coming from? How do I address it? Well, the coolest thing is that I read that there are different types of lies, of course, but these four, I want to be specific. There's deceitful lies, there's delusional lies, there's demoralizing lies, and then there's duplicitous lies. Now, deceitful lies are guilty lies, of course, involving deceit and you misleading people. Delusional lies are lies that you fix a belief behind that fabricated, that doesn't have all the details of the information. And then we have duplicitous lies where we intentionally hide. We're misleading and doing things. And we're going to spend a little bit of the time we have left on that. And you do that with your thoughts, your speech, and your actions. And then, of course, you do all that. Then you get to be demoralized and lie. And that's where you lose confidence, you lose hope. Yesterday, we were at a gas station, and a gentleman, he looked very nice. And he was very preppy looking. You know, I love preppy. And so he had a little Oxford shoes on, and he had his little nice suit, and he had his little plaid shirt on, and he had a little bow tie. And so I think he was feeling himself, too. And so I said, oh, you're looking mighty nice today over there. And so he got a little side cut, and he drove off, and the gas tank was still, the pump was still attached to the car. And so he jumps off the car because he snatches it completely out of the canister. And he said, oh, I've had a long day. And I said, you know what, you look too good to be in bed. Don't worry about that. I said, it's okay. I'm sure you didn't start out the day wanting to tear up the gas station. But nevertheless, you look good doing it. And so, of course, he fixes it, whatever. And then he gives the guys off, and I kind of cheat to him, like, you still left the gas cap off, and so forth. So he, you know, gets out, puts the things in, and then the time my daughter goes, I'd have been so embarrassed. and I've been so humiliated, and the whole day I would have thought bad of myself, and I'm like, wow, he made a mistake. He made a mistake. And I said, and that's how the enemy uses those systems to keep us in bondage, to demoralize us, to make us think what we did was so incredibly wrong. Lies. Lying to you that what you did was so incredibly wrong that nobody will ever forgive you. Lies. Lies. To demoralize you, to make you think that, you know, there's no coming back from this. Lies. God said that he will forgive you for all things. All things. And only the one thing that we that is the unforgivable sin that's in the Bible, I don't even think we know how to do it. I think God said it up that way, so we wouldn't. That's how much he loves us. Anything we do, we can be forgiven. We can be forgiven. And all we got to do is just ask. Don't believe the lies that the enemy tells you. And don't believe the lies that you're telling yourself. Change. And the coolest thing is that there's easy steps that you can change. Easy. But just the duplicitous lies, those are open, transparent lies that you just lie for no reason, just because you like lying. Why? Why? Lies that you want people to make you believe that, you know, you're the best thing since sliced bread. You can do that without people lying to you because you're fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. That was one of the lies that the enemy had me believe. And then until recently, I started to believe that foolishness. That, I was still too heavy, or I didn't look well enough for this, or, you know, the dark spots under my eyes, you know. I just, the devil is a lie. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and however God made me, he knew exactly how I was going to look at this time, at this point in my life, and I'm going to keep it moving. Nobody can tell me that I'm ugly. Nobody. Even with my eyes a little on the twisted side. Nobody can tell me that I'm not good enough. Nobody. And nobody's going to make me second guess myself or put myself in harm's way because somebody needs to feel good about themselves. No, you can feel good about yourself and I can feel good about myself without the enemy making us believe we got to cut each other up and make each other feel bad or feel down. No, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is do these seven little steps that God has for us. One, we have to ask God to search our hearts. Thought again. Thought, why do I still live that sometimes I have to lie to myself or I want to be lied to? Why? Where does that come from? Show me. Show me why I do that or why I need people to do that. Why I need people to tell me that I'm good enough. Why do I need that when I should know that already? Why do I need that? And then, Lord, Give me the purpose. What is the point of the of me needing that? What is that fixing? What need do I need to fix for that? Ask him. Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart. Show me what that is. And when you give it to me, Lord, help me to repent. Help me to repent from it and realize that I can't fix that on my own. Many times we've been doing that so long, we don't even know how long we've been doing it. So we need his help. Lord, help me fix that. Show me that I can't do that by myself and what I need to do. And then, praise God, ask him, what scripture do I need to read to help me? That's what I love about Google. That's what I love about concordances and all these thesaurus, all these different avenues that we have that God can lead us to for a word and then use that word to go to the word. And then find a scripture that will help you and memorize it. Me and my little student of the other day, he's like, I don't know how to memorize scripture. I'm like, yes, you do. And he's like, no, I really don't. And in not even 2 minutes, he learned the scripture. And he was proud of himself because it's simple. When you try, we got to learn those scriptures so that we can have something to replace those lies with, replace the lies with truth. So now you ask God to search your heart and you repent when he gives it to you. And then you ask him to give you a word to replace it. And then you pray. Pray, Lord, when that feeling comes or that situation or that suggestion comes, Lord, quicken my spirit. And even if I fall short and do it again, Lord, ask me to repent and move. Lord, you know what? And sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult. It's difficult when you know you lied to somebody and you go back and say, you know, I lied. But it's really not that difficult if you want to be right. You know, y'all, I'm lying. Make it a joke. Y'all, I'm lying. I need to tell the truth. And laugh. Amen. Then that takes the emotions out of it. Well, what you lost for? I don't know. You're crazy. But I want to do right. I'm trying to do right. So, y'all, when you know I'm lying, you know, just, you know, pinch me. I want to do right. I think we can make it fun. We don't have to make it big and make it all dramatized where the enemy can really have us delusion. Remember that lie? We don't have to do that. Pray and ask him. And then ask for support. That's what we have friends for. I mean, you ain't even got to be best friends. Praise God. Just somebody sitting next to you in the next cubicle, wherever you're working, your brothers and sisters, somebody. You know, I don't want to lie anymore. I've gotten so used to and comfortable lying. I don't want to lie anymore. Help me. Help me. And then, more importantly, reward yourself when you know you could have lied and you didn't. I told the truth. Amen. I told the truth. I'm getting better. I'm growing up. I'm getting to be a big girl. Amen. We got to reward ourselves when we do things that we know that the enemy is trying to convince us to do that's not right. And so, same thing. I could keep talking and keep obsessed about these lines, but praise God, I've been there, done it. I don't want to lie anymore. I want to tell the truth. I don't want nobody to lie to me anymore either. I want to do the things that God has called for us all to do, and that's for us to be right, for us to do the things that God calls all of us to do and to be right. Now, how do we do that? Believe that God is going to do what he calls to do. I know that, like I said, I could keep going, but I'm out of time. And so I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time. And I always close my grandmother's broadcast out with her favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it does. And if we praise God more, if we live the life that he called us to live, if we did the things that he calls us to do, then praise God, we would understand why it's important for us to praise. Amen. And so I know she's listening, so I play her song, and then my girlfriend always likes the song too, so I want to make sure that I play it in entirety for her too. But tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word. And prayerfully by next week, we'll be better at telling the truth. We won't be lying, amen, or needing people to lie to us, amen. Again, this is Leah Killings on Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Again, I pray that you tune in next week and every Monday night. And then remember to always, always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer. I want you to have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week. God bless you. Have a good day.
One accord. praise.